Jane Kennedy and Mick Molloy. Two comedy greats and even better mates. This is Kennedy Molloy. Buckle up, Australia. Here they come. Straight from a very long lunch. And frankly, this could go anywhere. This is Kennedy Molloy.
Here we go, people. Bang! Head on into the Monday edition of Kennedy Molloy for possibly the last time this year. Well, we'll talk about that shortly.
Oh, really?
It's up and about.
Well, that's good. Yeah,
there's going to be a week of best ofs and other assorted goodies coming down the pike after this week. But yes, we're going to give it a red hot go this week. Guess who's on the show? Plano and Woodley.
I woke up this morning with a spring in my step knowing they'd be on.
You say National Treasures. There aren't many you could put them, but I put them in that category.
Would you put Graham Richardson in that category?
I would indeed. We've got him on to talk about the aftermath of the Victorian election and what the implications are for ScoMo.
For the entire country,
bunch
really.
Bunch of nutbags in command of the Liberals at federal level. So we'll get to the bottom of that.
Excellent.
A sea change
over
the weekend.
Hey, it was a big week in sport.
Okay. We've got a sports segment.
We really do.
Which will bag it all up. There's lots to talk about, including our own Daniel Ricciardo. And, of course, the Kardashian curse, Jane.
Oh.
Is it real? Do you feel it?
100%. It's a real thing.
It's not a bad one to get, though.
It's specific.
Big hello to Lamar Odom.
It's specific to basketball, isn't it?
It's specific to basketball.
Yeah.
We'll get to the bottom of that.
We will.
Are you going to do it or not? I call bullshit. Are you going to give it a crack?
Yes, I'm going to do it. I'll get my magazine.
Well, we'll get the
because
women's
magazine. Because it's the Monday magazine day when I look at all the lead stories
the
and
covers.
I call bullshit on whether they're real or not.
There's some beauties out there today. There's one that could go down as an all-time great. All right, that's and much more. Oh, Dave O'Neill. Sorry, pardon me. The great Dave O'Neill is
There's
on the
so
program.
There's so many things happening today.
There's so many particularly good aspects to today's show. Let's get into it. We'll take your calls. We'll take your tweets. And can I also tell you, it is our Cowbell special.
Now, can you talk us through this? I know what the Cowbell special is about, but well, let's just talk
you
through
You know, I'm a devotee of the Cowbell. Hi, Dave.
Hi, guys.
We'll get to you in just a moment. Devotee of the Cowbell. I just felt it was time it got recognised.
Yes.
And all the music on today's program will feature the Cowbell.
Oh, fantastic.
Have you got to just give us a sample of the songs we'll be listening to, Dave?
Well, we've got Honky Tonk Woman coming up
from
the Rolling Stones. Well,
you could double up on the intro.
Well, I might.
Please do.
I might play along.
I'd like that.
Maybe we'll leave the mics up.
Okay.
Bit of Steeler's Wheel stuck in the middle with you later.
Yeah.
And Blue Oyster Cult coming up in just a moment, which I think's the most iconic Cowbell song.
I love
song.
That stuff. Yeah. All right. I like it a lot. How quickly was the...
Everyone's weekend?
Weekend. How was yours, Dave?
Good.
Dave, you've had the SCA...
Yes.
Christmas party, and you went dressed as Elvis.
Yeah, the Vegas-themed Christmas party on Friday night. It was a fantastic night. Everybody committed to the night. Everyone got dressed up. There was showgirls. There was
sad.
Dancers.
You're a bit sad.
He wasn't sad.
Old Elvis at the roulette table.
I know.
You actually looked sad, though.
I know. Well, I was concentrating. That's what I was doing. It was 21, so I was concentrating on my cards. But yeah, they had like blackjack, and there was roulette tables set up, and it was a really good night. And
bit of entertainment.
Yeah, showgirls. There was proper showgirls. There was male strippers as well. It was all very above board, though.
A night for a little bit of everything for everyone.
There was. People dressed up as Mormons. There was
a person
dressed up as a poker machine. There was lots of Elvises there.
Really?
It was fun.
I also saw a picture of you.
What?
Using...
The Ego 56-volt power trimmer, power beyond belief, 61 centimetres.
Now, you were just banging on to us before we've gone to air and saying, but I got to tell you.
I'm telling you.
Oh, it was so fast. 1 minute. Whooshka.
This was the one that was left over for me.
This was the one that you didn't give away and then put into the back of your car. By the way, I want to flag something. We failed to give away a PlayStation 4 on Friday. It's starting to look like a rort to me that this happens every week. Are we giving away that?
I tried to give it away last week, but you were motoring through the call, so I didn't get a chance
to
give it away.
Well, we better do it today.
Where is it? Where is it?
The PlayStation.
Yeah.
I think it's in your office somewhere.
I don't have it.
I swear to God. But, I mowed that hedge within minutes, so thanks, Ego.
Okay, we're going to talk with Graham Richardson in a minute because it was a big... day, night in Victoria and, you know.
A massive sea change, a wipeout in the state Victorian elections for Liberals. They were absolutely wiped out. We want to talk about the federal implications.
Well, yes, I think so. And I wonder how ScoMo's feeling today and what they're going to do to sort things out
in
their party.
I tuned in and they're pretty much back to their old antics. It was just a bit of a juvenile kind of...
private schoolboy debating.
Yeah, I don't think they're learning a lot.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, got a good 5 months to turn that shit around.
We'll
speak to Richard in a minute.
This is Jane Kennedy and Mick Molloy. Kennedy Molloy. This was much more than just a victory for the true believers.
The people of Victoria have today overwhelmingly endorsed a positive and optimistic plan for our state.
He said 4 years ago, I want to build stuff, and he's done that. That and the fact that the Liberals are in such disarray, state and federal, I don't know how they can ever get back.
To see the bloodbath in safe eastern suburbs of Melbourne seats that have never been Labor in their lives.
This is our real base of the Liberal Party. They sent us a message.
And I would anticipate that by this time tomorrow, Matthew Guy will be gone.
You can go on saying this has no federal implications. Sorry, not true. I sat there on polling booths and every second person mentioning energy, climate, or the deposing of the Prime Minister.
The events of a few months ago here in Canberra would not have helped.
Statewide, Labor look likely to pick up at least 7 seats from the Liberal Party.
The Victorian result could be replicated federally next year, with the seats of senior ministers under threat.
Labor's 10 points ahead after preferences, with the Coalition's primary vote bleeding to One Nation.
We are the most progressive government in the nation. We keep our promises and we get things done.
Well, look, I think if the federal Liberals think that this is just all about state issues, they're in denial.
Time is up, quite clearly.
Well, the big question today, Jane Kennedy, who's to blame? I don't know, but gee, it's fun to watch. Let's ask someone who may have a fair idea, a former heavyweight of the Australian Labor Party, who I'm sure slyly... is in enjoying this emphatic victory in...
From his armchair,
where he broadcasts daily as for The Australian and Sky, his commentator. Let's check in with Graham Richardson. Richo, how are you, mate?
All the better for talking to you two.
Hey, Richo, did you enjoy watching it unfold on Saturday night?
Well, I felt particularly sorry for the deputy leader of the opposition, finding out his seat was just about gone.
Live on TV.
I've never seen that before. I've replayed it about 16 times. Not that I am in any way a sadist, but I just love looking at it.
Well, in the finest Schadenfreude way, I'm sure, but he did handle it very well.
He did. I think it's amazing how you often see people handle themselves better in defeat than they ever could during a campaign. I thought Guy's speech in defeat was terrific the other night. Best he's ever made. A bit late, but...
won't be the last one. or will it be the last one?
Yeah, I don't think you'll hear him again. They can't run him again. God help us.
Give us your overview, Richo. Everyone's putting in their 10 cents worth, but from where you sit, what happened?
Well, overwhelmingly, Andrews was the key. He is a brilliant politician, as I've written today. He's not just good. He's up there with Rann and Hawke, and they were pretty damn good, I can tell you.
Yeah.
This guy is terrific. And I think that the words that he used in the opening line of his acceptance speech, we get things done. I think that's really, it's rare that a government can campaign on a positive agenda, but Labor could the other day and did, because they have got things done. He made promises, he kept them. And that's not in the normal vein of modern politics. Mostly, people are looking at politicians. They don't trust them. In Victoria, they found one they trusted and they invested everything in it.
What's this mean at a federal level? We were talking about Wentworth, and that was a stunning little taste of what might be in store for the Liberals at that level. What are the implications at a federal level?
They're massive. I know that everyone's going to say you can't, say that the federal election had anything to do with it or federal issues didn't, but gee, they do. There's no doubt that Victorians well, I think the phrase was baseball bats that Wayne Gosch used, waiting with baseball bats to get at Morrison's team.
Yeah.
I'm not sure it's baseball bats or howitzers, but they're out there at the front gate and they're going to whack them as they go by.
Well, there was also extraordinary outburst or scene from Jeff Kennett calling for the head of Michael Kroger to him live on air as well.
Yeah, but he does that every second try.
You know, I reckon he's about to run again.
He's hated Kroger for 20 years.
Yes.
Poor old Jeff can't distinguish between trying to actually examine and analyse what happened on the weekend past his hatreds. His hatred will always come first, and his hatred of Michael Kroger is almost touchable. It is just surreal.
Yes.
Mind you, Michael's had a long innings. And,
yeah, he has.
I think if you look at the state of the Victorian Liberal Party, it might be time to give someone else a go.
But he's not going anywhere. He stated that. Do you blame is there blame to be headed to the far right of the Federal Liberal Party who've said if we can't have it, we're going to destroy it, and they're pretty much standing in a big pile of rubble, which is the Liberal Party right now. Are they to blame?
Well, I think the moves on Malcolm Turnbull, while I understand I would have been moving on Malcolm Turnbull had I been there.
Yeah.
He was a disastrous Prime Minister. Nonetheless, the mob have shown over time that they want the right to get rid of people like Malcolm Turnbull. They don't like somebody usurping that right from them. And I think that's what you've seen here. They don't like the fact that he got knocked off by his own team, even though Morrison actually supported him in the first ballot.
He's
still suffering from that that change, I think.
Now, we've seen a 19-year-old kid who has basically given up his gap year. He's an incumbent now in the blue ribbon seat of Brighton, which has always been blue.
For all our national listeners, Brighton is the...
Well, it's the double bayou slight.
It's the leafiest suburb you could possibly imagine in Victoria.
And this is young Declan Martin.
I thought you were going to play something.
That's all right, no.
I was waiting to hear.
No, all he said was, dearie me, when he sort of discovered that he's, looked like he could get in.
I don't think he's going to, though, is he? I think the latest poll suggests he won't. He'll get nudged out. But, I mean, that is a similar result to Wentworth, isn't it? If you look at the area that Brighton represents, it's just like going through the Vaucluses and Rose Bays of Sydney.
Yeah.
It's just hard to believe the Liberals could even go close to losing them. But I think in Victoria, there's a real problem with the Liberal Party. They just appear to have lost culturally. They don't look like the community they're supposed to represent. There's too many old white men, not enough women, and I think that's come to be recognised. They need to smarten up. They're going to have to actually have a look at within their ranks.
Well, they better do it quickly.
Well, that's the point. They're not going to do it quickly. This is going to take years.
Yeah.
But if you neglect the problem for years and pretend it's not a problem, and that's what they've done, you just make it worse. Hey. So I think they're going to be out of government a long time in Victoria, and for the first time ever, I think Labor's a chance of getting a win so big federally that they could be a two-term government as well.
That's right, and the Greens had a shocker too. Hey, Richo.
Isn't that good, though?
Isn't it fantastic? I think
champagne corks are a popping in the Richardson
house. I agree. Now, Richo, I think my favourite picture from the night is you at home broadcasting live to Sky Channel, and you got a good setup. You got like your TV table out. You got your chair. You got your shirt on. There's a camera there across to you. But I'm looking, and I thought I was the only one who watches the election with no pants on. But to my eye, sir, you are dressed to the nines above the line and below the line. There's nothing on.
Right, there's boxes, mate. Now, come on. There's always boxes.
Well, as always, you're the first one we want to speak with after one of these occasions. So thanks again, Mitchell.
You're the first ones I want to
speak. Oh, there it is. We'll form our own party. We'll run. We're a chance to get up. Good on you, Richo. Thanks again. See fascinating too, insights from the chair of Graham Richardson. Richo, he'd be quietly loving that.
This is Kennedy Malloy.
I always love it when lists come through when people act a bit crazy, and I don't know if this is for a fact a woman, but I'm going to call it that it is.
Wow, all right.
There's a list has been made, put out on one of the sites looking for flatmates.
Yeah, sure.
But there's 11 points that have been made, and they're really pretty outrageous.
So by the person who's looking for someone to move
That's right, for someone to move into their flat. And you don't hear the word flat anymore. I used to say flat, but...
Well, it's apartment now.
Apartment now,
everyone says New York-style loft.
That's right.
Unit.
So this, the first requirement is...
meth lab. Say,
well, there's no meth lab going on here because there's no anything. You can't do a single thing at this house.
It's nearly small. Like, well, did you just about let one
I am always button. Just a bees away from swearing.
Crikey.
The first thing is you'll have to be out of the house from 9 to 5 on weekdays.
This is to the new tenant.
Yeah, because the person works from home. So
okay, so you can live there, but you can't be there.
You go, right, all right. Some other highlights, no cooking before 8:30 or after 11 p.m.
So you've got to be out of the house by 9, but you can't cook yourself breakfast.
You've got half an hour. You'll occasionally like to have porridge in the microwave, but don't use the microwave too much. They don't want to hear any noise coming from your room all the time.
I think this is Julian Assange. It's Julian Assange. Is that what he's doing? He's looking for...
This ranges from phone calls to watching movies to laughing past 11 p.m.
No laughing after 11 p.m. But I only got home at 5.
Okay. If you have to run to the toilet 15 times a day or every 15 minutes, don't move in here. Excessive bathroom use is not cool.
Wow.
If you drink canned beans and cook lentils and drink beer, you're not my kind of flatmate. I need someone a little more sophisticated here. And clearly someone who doesn't fart. They don't want to have someone who spends a lot of time cooking or make elaborate meals. And you're only occasionally allowed to have guests to the house. They basically say, listen, this is not a sociable house.
Who could move in?
Yeah.
Even someone leaving prison would find that restrictive.
I agree. But one of the funniest things is the last line. Please be sure that if we all have an understanding about the above points, we won't have any problems. I'm quite easygoing. Thinking, look, I've only lived with girlfriend and, you know, I haven't really lived with people. I've never moved in with someone I don't know. I had a share house. So I want to know, are these lists for real?
Have you had a crazy rule?
133353. Yeah. Give us a call because I'm just wondering who also is the boss that sets the rules?
Don't get my dog stoned. Oh. I told that story. This is 15.
That seems
this is
fair
many
enough.
Years ago when I my house, because we knew a lot of theatre types, people would come and crash it.
Theatre types?
You know what I mean.
Lesbians.
Arts world.
Arts world, that's me. And they were coming staying, and they when they left, I had two little dogs at the size, a Maltese and a Shih Tzu.
What's a Shih Tzu?
Well, it's a zoo with no animals. Cop that, Anderson. Give it a try. Yeah. See if we can pull it off.
It's very organic coming from you because you actually had one.
I did have one. No, well, I did.
I know.
Hence, Barty Boy. Bart.
Yeah, I know Bart.
Bart. So anyway, when they left, these two girls from Adelaide, they left and there was a note on my table that said, thanks for having us. We've left you a present. And on top of the note on the coffee table was just a few crumbs. And I'm going,
I wonder what that was.
Yeah. And then I go to see my dog, my Shih Tzu, lying on his back.
Oh, Barty.
Looking at me, Barty boy. Oh. Stoned for days he was.
Oh, did you get the munchies?
I didn't come home. He wouldn't even come to the front door.
Oh, poor Barty. All right, well, look, we want to find out what other crazy rules you've had to live by in your share house. 133353.
This is Kennedy Malloy. Your new way to drive home.
We're talking about crazy lists that people put in when you're moving into a house.
Rules attached to moving into a house with someone else and how prohibitive they are, whether they're deal breakers.
How tough they can be, exactly.
Yeah, we had quite
a few people saying they've had pretty similar things. Hello, Matt, how are you going?
Yeah, not too bad, yourself?
Good, Matt. Tell us about your experience.
So I've moved from Albury all the way up to Newcastle to live in a share house for uni.
Yeah.
Stopped off at Sydney to pick up my girlfriend who was helping me move at the time.
Yeah.
Arrived at the new house and had my flatmate tell me that I wasn't allowed to have any partners stay over the night.
Oh.
Yeah, I had to go stay somewhere else for the night.
Hang on, she's helped you move in.
This is Mrs. McGillicuddy. How old was she, this woman?
Oh, she was 18 at the time.
No, so she's staying you couldn't stay the night?
Yeah, because I had my girlfriend with me. Yeah, we couldn't stay in the share house.
Okay.
But your girlfriend couldn't stay the night?
Yeah. That's so we went and stayed somewhere else, and then I've dropped her home, come back the next day, And guess who's there with old girl?
Oh, boyfriend.
Yep.
Oh.
Well,
sure. Yeah, how long did it last, that whole situation of sharing that house?
I think I was there for 6 months and then I transferred to Canberra Uni.
All right.
All right.
Wow. Well, thank you for sharing that, Matt. That seemed pretty tough.
It's a tale of woe. Mm. Well done. Andrew, what's the house rule? What was the house rule, mate?
No cooking after 1 a.m.
And why was that? Was there an incident?
Oh, there was. Yeah, the boys came home after a long night drinking.
Yep.
And decided he was going to have something extra to help him get to sleep. But he was also hungry, so he decided to put on a roast. fell asleep while he had the roast in the oven and almost burnt the house down.
Yeah, okay. Well, now there's something where I think probably that's not a bad rule.
Put it on a roast after one. What about a guy with the chicken nuggets? We got him there.
Chicken nuggets?
Remember the call from Friday?
Oh,
the
chicken nuggets? I'll have to find that.
We'll find him. Thanks, Andy, for the call. Hey, Lex.
G'day, how are you?
Yeah, what happened to you when you were flatting?
Oh, well, I was 20 and I moved over to London and I had $1,000 in the bank and I blew that the night before with all the lads. And then when I got off the plane, I found a room to rent in this house. Yeah. And there was a payphone in there.
Wow. That's something my father swore he'd put in our house.
It was out of control. I'm trying to ring Australia with no money, no way of trying to get onto the old folkies to send some coin over. And I'm trying to borrow money off them. Nah, no way.
No, well, you got stuffed there. Thanks, Lex, for that call.
One other thing.
No, yes.
Yeah, Mick, on Regurgitator's new album, there's a song called Don't Stress. 1:25 in, there's a cowbell.
Bang! Fish it out and we'll have a look. 1:25, you've done your research.
Good on you, Lex. Thanks
I like your
for style.
Give Lex a prize, please.
Yeah. Sure, you got a... I tell you what you've got. You've got tickets to go see Slash. There you go, Lex. Double to see Slash, Miles Kennedy and the Conspirators touring around Australia January and February. Tickettech.com.au to buy tickets, but you got two. Well done.
Thank you.
Good on you, Lex.
Hello, Lorraine.
Hi, how you going?
Yeah, good. What happened to you with these rules?
It was my husband. He was working in Sydney trying to find a room to rent or, you know, a share house. And I rang up this guy and he said, yeah. He said, you know, we'll have to meet. And then he rang me back and he said, how old is he? And I said, oh, in his 50s. And he said, is he good looking? And I said, well, I think he's nice looking. What sort of perfume does he wear? And I said, perfume?
What?
Well, he wears aftershave. And he said, is he a suit or is he a construction worker? I said, he's a construction worker. I'll have to eyeball him. I said, okay, I'll organise the time. So we organised the time and he wasn't there. He'd gone out with his mates. And then this other young guy met him and then I didn't hear back from him that night. The next morning I heard and I said to him, so, you know, how did it go? And he said, well, he's ugly and he's old. He said, he just will not fit in this house. And I said, excuse me? I said, he's a lovely man, and he can't even speak English. I said, he's got a bit of an accent, but, you know. He said, no, he won't fit in here, and he's just too ugly for our sort of scene.
Wow. Oh, well, this is
pretty brutal.
I think he's dodged a bullet there, Lorraine.
Yeah.
Sounded like a bit of a catty household.
Yes.
Well, I think he was a bit catty. And
or he was keen on him.
Yeah, that's right. And he also said that because he was married, I wasn't allowed to stay there. And I said, well, I've got... you know, my own family at home and I work, so I can't stay there anyway. He's only there for work. Mm. It was all these things. And I'm just so surprised that he eventually, well, you know, that he's allowed to say all those things. I didn't think you were allowed to say stuff like that.
Anyway.
We're on the radio. feels like we're having a phone call there, Lorraine. Feel like we're just having a chat. Good on you, though.
Yeah.
Good call.
Thank you. That's exactly what we were talking about.
Have you got the chicken nuggets guy there?
Sam,
my favourite kid from last week.
I'm only 22 and my parents have left me at home alone.
Oh.
Just on Saturday night, I went to a housewarming and I came back real pissed and I thought I'd cook up some nuggets. I put 24 in the deep fryer and left them in for 12 hours.
Good times.
It's the amount of nuggets that I
like. 24, but he ate them 12 hours later. They came out like little charcoal
that
bricks.
That is ridiculous. Right. Thank you for your calls then. Hey, everyone, stand by. We've got some pretty special guests coming in.
National treasures, I think.
They are indeed. Leno and Woodley.
Your new way to drive home.
Kennedy Malloy.
Taking their award-winning show Fly to the Regions and Capital Cities, Leno and Woodley in studio on Kennedy Malloy.
And they've come in throwing haymakers. They've absolutely thrown a... thrown a hand grenade into the room and refired up the old Fleetwood Mac.
I agree with you, Michael. I do not think that Fleetwood Mac should be played on Triple M.
Thank you.
My bugbear is that it doesn't. Like, thunder doesn't only happen when it's raining. It usually happens when a storm is impending.
So you're taking him to task over the rest of
the literal lyrics.
You're just turning into the boring Uncle Frank, aren't you? just that common sense guy that just, but I think you'll find that it doesn't happen always. Shut up, Uncle Frank.
How are you guys going? Any cabin fever on the road?
You still seem to be getting on
well. Seem to be getting on famously.
We're getting on okay.
We're about to crack.
It's okay because this tour, like it's finite. You know, like,
oh, really?
And the reunion, is finite. Like, we're not getting back together doing shows for the next 10 years.
Oh, that's
disappointing. We're only getting back together to do this show, and then, you know, we'll
see what happens. Like, surely it's like an illegal drug where you guys get a taste of it again and go, oh.
Well, then there's the TV series, a new TV series, surely.
Why not?
Yeah, there's the
feature film.
Back to Edinburgh, another Perrier Award.
I'm going to toss it up.
Yes.
Either of you, please, for those listeners who may not know what your award winning show Fly is all about.
Yes.
May I hand it over? Please explain.
Well, it's Colin's effort to create a beautiful theatrical work that's based on the story of the Wright brothers inventing the first powered flight, powered aeroplane.
We got nominated for People's Choice Award. No, not nominated. We even won it.
You won it.
We won People's Choice. We got nominated for a Helpman, which is like...
That's very fancy
very
in the real
fancy, real deal kind of thing. And then we got nominated for a Barry for Best Show.
Yes.
But it was a bit of a wake-up call when I went to the Helpmans because Frank couldn't be bothered. He was boring somebody about thunder. And I went to Sydney to the Helpman Awards and I spoke to a friend and I went, we're actually up for Best Show, not like comedy show, but best
wonderful
show up against Bangarra Dance, Australian Opera, MTC, STC, and she just went, "You won't win it."
Oh.
And we didn't.
Oh.
What's the legalities of us just saying we won it? We won the best show at the Helpmans. Can you just do that?
Just do it.
I reckon we did.
How did
you go at the Helpmans, Frank?
We won the best show.
Did you?
It was unbelievable.
I don't think our Triple M audience are going to be Googling now whether you did or not.
We did actually.
Give us a call now. Tell us who Robert Helpman was. Give us a call.
Speaking of blasts from the past.
Yes.
Hey, 70,000 people came and saw this show. They've
just on the one night.
On the one.
We did it at the MCG.
That many people have seen it. What have you got to do? You've got to go off Broadway. What are you doing? You're doing a lap around Australia now.
We go back to some of the same cities that we've been to.
You have
like
been
Sydney
to these
and Adelaide, and we're doing Melbourne again. But we're also going to Darwin, Wollongong, Warragul,
Townsville,
Port Macquarie.
And we're heard in all these places, you see. Yeah. So everybody's going to be very excited and they'll be buying their tickets now.
Absolutely. They will. They won't be listening to this show anymore because they're straight to the phone. And
multitask, you know.
Do you think?
And they'll miss this anecdote. I want to hear. Did you go to David Byrne? Did you go to David Byrne the other night?
I did go to David Byrne.
Are you a fan? So you're
I was a
Talking Heads fan.
I was a Talking Heads fan.
So you sound a bit fussy. You don't like Fleetwood Mac. Now you're a bit iffy about.
You settle down. settle down. No, but it was just one of those amazing kind of, you know, the stars aligning kind of thing where. Because of my demographic, now I'm not going to 40ths or 50ths. I'm going to 60ths.
Wow.
So I was supposed to be going to a 60th. I'm not going to go to David Byrne. I'm going to go with my wife to a 60th.
Yes.
So I can't go to David Byrne. Oh, actually, we're not going to the 60th. Oh, I could have gone and seen David Byrne. It's too late to get tickets. Oh, my God, 7 o'clock, Saturday night, we get a text. We've got two spare tickets to go and see David
Byrne.
Would you like to come?
A text
and I
from
went.
Just some, a friend.
Just
from a friend.
David
a friend.
Byrne.
A friend.
I mean, I
went to
more
Margaret Court Arena, and I would tell you it was one of the best things I've ever seen in my life.
Wow.
Extraordinary. I've heard great things as well myself.
This
about
is another this. Term that perhaps your listeners won't understand. Mm. But on the stage was a tarquette, which is a dance surface.
Jeez.
So all of the performers in the show had bare feet and no drum roster or anything, but just if. if anybody went to see it. It was a great show.
Don't scoff me, Jane Kennedy. Do not scoff. You don't turn up your nose when I say Tuckhead.
It's the word Tuckhead.
It sounded a bit Fleetwood Mac. It sounded a bit Tusk.
For me, it's more the fact, you know, there's like Beyonce doing these spectacular, you know, light and sound shows, but you're impressed that they were in bare feet.
Were they walking on cobs?
You're a man of simplicity of it. You do like the simplicity of it.
It was a bloody great show.
Well, your show doesn't sound simple.
They've got a cowbell song. Talking Heads have got a cowbell song.
We're going to play that next.
When?
We are.
Now.
When? Now.
Yes.
Do it.
After we've given one more fabulous plug to go and see Fly. This is a really
awesome show.
Congratulations on the show, guys.
Yeah. This is.
Have you come to see it, Mick?
I haven't yet. But I want to go.
We're putting it on again.
I want to be in it. Can I do a cameo? Sure. Can I come on?
No.
That third right.
No, he can play the Fly.
But what if I have bare feet on? Mate, I know how
it's
you guys
great
roll.
At your age as well, just turning into a teenager. What if I'm going to be in? Yeah.
It's our last week.
That's why you
get last week.
It is. Very cranky.
Because you're very witty.
It's our last week. Can you tell?
Is it really?
I'm just going to fall across the line.
All right.
Just going to do it. So okay. Please go easy.
All righty. Sorry, Mike.
What's your show again?
You're going to fall across Fly. The line like Fly. Stephen Bradbury. It's going to be beautiful.
All those Love places, it. All those dates are on our website, Dave.
Yep. And lanoandwoodley.com.au.
Thanks,
this
guys.
Is not
Love
my
you.
Comedy partner.
Two comedy greats and even better mates. This is Kennedy Malloy.
Coming to the end of the year and we're getting through some of our favourite guests. Guess who's on the show tomorrow?
Hey.
Dr. Chris Brown.
Ah, fantastic.
I'm looking forward to that, Jane, because we'll be able to ask him all about his new girlfriend.
Wait.
Sorry.
Yes. I'm sorry to break this to you, but there is some young hussy out there is cutting your lunch.
No, that's not possible.
It's in all the gossip pages today. Listen to this. He was seen standing together with his new girl, Liv Fyland, 28. Hey, well played.
Well, she's made a very powerful enemy.
Who's a presenter on the music show The Loop, Channel 10, I think that is.
That's a stupid show.
My kids love that.
What? Yeah, well, how old is she?
Listen, 28, as I said, which is about, let's just call it half your age. Now, listen to this. This is an eyewitness. They were standing together at the counter of, this is at a supermarket, and obviously because he's so tall, I recognised him. They left together in a white Range Rover. He was driving. She was in the passenger seat. The boot was packed with surfing gear that looked like they were headed off for a weekend away.
Whoa.
That would be a dirty weekend.
Absolutely not.
Away with Chris Brown, his new love.
She's his PA.
Cop it.
Simple. She was doing some shopping for him.
What, in a white Range Rover?
It's his white Range Rover.
With the surfing gear in the back.
She packed the car for him. She'll drop him there. She'll cook all the food for him, drop him off, and then go home to her lonely, sad life. With her cats.
She's sitting in your seat. That is you. Wow. She's sitting
She's
in your
not.
Seat.
Nobody yeah. sits in my heated seat.
Well, no need for the bum warmers. Oh. Tell you what, I'm getting excited.
Well, I'll find out.
Well, I can ask him all about it.
All right.
And don't you be huffy.
You just don't know what I know. I know.
What do you know?
Well, it's just between Chris and I, and don't you push him on it when we see him tomorrow.
I will.
It's very private what goes on between me and Chris Brown. You should respect that. I respect you and your chicken heiresses. You should respect me and my vets.
Well, your vet's gone rogue. That's all I'm saying.
I don't think so.
You want to rein him in a bit.
Stand by. That's enough. Don't you stir me up anymore. I'm not in the mood. Not in the mood. Stand by for Dave O'Neill.
Joining us next.
Jane Kennedy and Mick Malloy. Two comedy greats and even better mates. This is Kennedy Malloy. Strap yourself in, people. Here comes the big second hour of Kennedy Malloy.
What an absolute boomer this promises to be. We're going to have a very comprehensive sports wrap from the weekend. Some big stories out there.
Well, good, including our women cricket team, who had a great win.
Had a great win. Congratulations, girls. We're going to mention the Kardashian curse.
We are, because it's a real
it's
thing.
A big
it's
one.
Getting
it's
bigger.
It's out there, and I like it. We are also going to get into I Call Bullshit, Jane.
Yes, because it's Monday and the magazines come out, and I'm going to say, you know, which ones I feel are real, Which ones are also?
There's one cracker there.
You've researched it for me.
And if I've read it,
yeah,
I know it.
Right.
I know the story.
It involves Princess Diana, so stand by.
I believe it.
Do you?
We'll take your calls, we'll take your tweets, but let's start at the top. And welcome back for maybe one last time this year, I believe, a friend of the show, and we thank him for his contribution over the year. It's Dave O'Neill. Dave!
Hello.
Dave, we've loved having you part of our year.
It sounds like I'm about to get sacked.
However, we have a few things, yes.
You've heard this speech, haven't you?
I've heard this spiel before. Yeah. I have been sacked before.
You have been sacked.
My last ever job in an office in 1989, I got sacked, yeah.
For what?
The company was going. Look, I worked in public relations, and that's what I did my degree in. And I worked as a junior consultant in a firm, and we had the taxi industry as our client. And this was the thing that pushed me over the edge. And we had to go to a meeting with all the different taxi companies to improve their PR image, their public relations. The boss asked me, he said, David, have you got any ideas for the taxi industry? And I said, have you tried deodorant?
And that
didn't go down well.
That was
but fair.
Fair call.
Fair call.
And I got sacked. So
I'd love to sack you. So maybe we'll get you to join the show on then.
Maybe. But I'm loving
Cowbell. I've been sacked a lot, by the way.
And also, yeah.
And from radio. I've been sacked from radio as well.
Oh, have you? That's
yeah, the general manager was crying. I thought someone had died or something. What's why are you crying? It's been your last show today.
Oh, my God. All right, we better look out if anybody's having a weep around.
I've been sacked from every network I've ever worked for. Yes,
what a badge of honour.
To me it is. To me I go, we gave it a go. Mm. Clearly.
Oh, television network?
Television networks, all of them.
Yeah.
Everyone.
One Channel 9 more than once. I owe Channel 9.
Just in case you didn't get it right the first time.
I owe Channel 9 a show. At some stage, I will make it up to them. They've been very loyal to me for no return.
Oh, that's good.
Over a long time.
But I'm loving Cowbell Monday.
Oh, you do?
I love cowbells.
Cowbell's great.
I can see why Mick loves it because it's a kind of instrument that me or Mick would look at and go, I could play that.
I know. And don't worry, both of you have given me a good red hot go.
Because keyboards and guitar.
And I still crack a stitch.
You crack a stitch.
Yeah.
Anyway, this is a good one. This one you've missed out on. Local, Kids in the Kitchen from the 80s.
Okay.
Bitter Desire.
Oh, yes.
Front and center.
I like that. The Kids in the Kitchen, that's from the what I call the boom crash opera era.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, Scott Kahn.
Kids in the Kitchen.
Yeah, Craig Harneth.
Craig Harneth, who does all the music for the Working Dog people.
Yes,
yeah.
Scott Kahn.
Bass.
Scott Kahn still plays in the Absolutely 80s show, and he's as big as me now, as he says, not so much changing mood as changing food. So.
Scotty Kahn's voice is still hot.
He's good. He's still good voice.
Great pipes.
Yes.
Who else was from that era? So there was
Shiro Echo.
Wawanee.
Oh, we're Sugar Free, You and Me. I used to see all those bands. Love them. I love the new wave.
You're a devotee.
Oingo Boingo.
Oh, I love Oingo Boingo. Real Life. Send me an angel.
Catch me on falling.
Yeah, catch me on falling. Send
Lock
me some
seagulls.
Hair gel.
Haircut 100.
And Devo, you got to throw in just fun.
Haircut 100, my favourite.
Thompson Twins.
Yeah. Duran Duran. Ultravox.
Wow.
Visage.
Okay, stop now.
Visage.
Fate to Grey.
Now you heard
Fate to Grey
talking about
shared housing.
Shared housing. Now you're a bit of a king in this area.
I lived in the same shared house, Mick, for 11 years.
And how many people?
Hang on.
How many people?
It wasn't my mum and dad's house.
The same house.
Same house
with different people.
Different
over
people.
Time.
So straight from high schoolish kind of, we all moved out. Me and my brother and three people from high school, two guys and a girl. And then it all changed. We sort of filtered through other people from high school.
It already. Sounds like too many.
Yeah, five people
to move into a shared house.
Yeah. But it was party central. Eventually, all my friends moved out, and I had to advertise like for people. And in the old days, you would just put an ad up in a bookshop or a local shop. And so we had freaks like come for interviews, and my brother and I did the interviews. And this guy, this guy said, "Who pays for the cat food around here?" Because he noticed we had cats. And I said, "Well, we all pay for it." Because we all get enjoyment out of it. And so he looked at the cat and said, "I'm going to have to get some enjoyment out of you." And the cat ran off, never came back. So this is the same guy who said.
And he ended up moving in.
Yeah, he moved in. He was a freak.
On what premise did you end up?
We were desperate.
Right.
And so my brother goes, "Have you got any other questions?" friends, and he goes, yeah, if you could come back as an animal, what would it be? And my brother goes,
the cat.
A giraffe.
Yeah, a cat.
But what happened with this house was that eventually everyone moved out. I was left there by myself, like a Hugh Hefner situation.
Do you think it was something, are you learning anything from this?
That everyone's leaving?
Five-bedroom house, just me walking around my dressing gown, and everyone had just left their furniture there. And so I decided to move out with my girlfriend, right? I said, I'm moving out, all right. And so I had to clean the house up to get the bond back, which was painful. $800. Yeah, well, I got to the first room and went, I'm not doing it. So I just left. And the real estate agent rang up. He goes, the house has still got furniture. There's food in the fridge. I said, mate, it's semi-furnished now, so good luck with that. So
Keep your bond.
Keep your $800.
Mate, crazy. I remember the first shared household I lived in, I thought I'd better invite my sister and a few people around for dinner. Better have a dinner party. Mm. Never realised that me and my mate couldn't cook.
No, we couldn't cook either.
So we decided to make tacos. So we thought we cooked tacos, and then we realised we had no cutlery. So when everyone came round at the table, we just put down newspaper and put the tacos.
It's like all of a twist. It's like poverty.
Put the tacos on the newspaper.
I'm expecting it wasn't a long dinner party.
I gave Justin the finance section because he's a big high flyer in finance.
I couldn't cook either, so I had to ring up my mum. I would ring up my mum and say, how do you cook a schnitzel and stuff like that. I would ring her all the time for cooking tips. But I learned how to cook.
Did you?
In a shed house, yeah, absolutely.
When did you learn to cook?
Schnitzels
and tacos.
We live close to a pizza place.
Oh, yeah.
And so we just used to go there all the time.
Constantly.
And it got to the point where we hadn't cleaned up anything. So our lounge room was full of pizza boxes. And I mean like hoarders.
But they smell.
Like you had to, well.
There's like an odour about
we eventually understood that. We had to hire an Irvan, like a minivan, and we filled the entire minivan with pizza boxes and drove it to the tip. That was a sad day. It was full. And my mate was smoking as we're driving there. I'm going, I wouldn't be doing that.
She could blow.
We could all be in a lot of trouble. What about you, Jane? You would have roughed it.
You didn't really live in shared housing or just with your girlfriend?
I lived in with one girlfriend, Pia.
Oh,
we lived in Richmond.
Tough times, wasn't it?
It was nice times.
In a flat or?
No, in a house.
In a house.
Yeah.
Any hairy experiences? Like with your butler
didn't turn up?
Oh, you got rolled?
Yeah, we got rolled. We had a fight in the living room.
Oh.
We had a homeless person. We had a homeless person come and sit in the lounge room for a whole day.
And no one realised. Is he with you? I thought you bought him.
That's funny.
And I actually say, who do you do? I don't know anyone. I'm just thought I'd sleep here tonight. I was like, no. Just wandered in off the street.
Yeah, I think I moved out with my mate. I saw him sleeping. He was sleeping on the couch, which is my thing. He'd been there for a couple of days. Mm. And then one day I saw him, this is a bit disgusting. So I warned everyone, but I watched him get up, lean over, found an empty glass, and just gone, and hoiked in it and put it down. I went, okay. Yeah.
So I don't know why I didn't move in with guys.
Yeah.
I think we're done here. Yeah.
We had girls living with us, so it brings it up a level, I think.
It does. Girls are very helpful to have in a house because they keep your toilet clean.
Well, exactly right.
We had to wear thongs in our own shower. You know what? Yeah, we did.
Yeah,
normally you'd reserve that for like caravan parks.
Or the baths.
We used to have to wear.
We put a hole in our bathroom floor because it rotted.
Oh, it's not a competition. you put a what?
Hole
in the bathroom floor, and there was like a foot hole in the bathroom floor, which went through to the ground. Yeah.
Who knows what that was from?
These were good times.
Rotting.
Now, how's your podcast, The Debrief, going? You've got a big guest coming up.
Celia Piccola's on the
Wow!
I listened to that on the weekend.
Oh, good on you!
Really good. It sort of stops halfway through, though, Dave.
Yeah, I ran out of tape. But anyway, that's.
What do you mean?
Well, there's no room left on the thing, the card they call it.
So what
it.
Do you mean?
I just said to her, I've run out. That's it. Anyway, I'll give you a time.
It's a cassette, are you?
It's like a
memory card.
Yeah, it's like a memory card. That's right, Dave.
Yeah.
But we were sitting there. I do the podcast in my car. Jeez. We were sitting there, and two people got in the back seat. They thought it was an Uber.
That's right. Yeah,
so you never stop getting material.
Never.
Your whole life is it. Thank you for coming along.
No worries. Thanks for having me all
great
year.
Great stuff, and you're fine.
Thanks.
No, you'll get.
We'll
love
see,
to have
we'll
you back
you next
again
year.
Next year.
Sure.
This is Jane Kennedy and Mick Malloy. Kennedy Malloy. Kennedy Malloy's Sports Wrap.
Well, guys, Daniel Ricciardo is on the move. He's raced for the last time for Red Bull at F1. He's going to Renault. next season. He'd been there, I think, how many years? Was it 5 years?
Yeah.
I think
he'd been pretty happy about, I think he's finally relieved because he had to see out the term. Remember, we knew he was leaving for quite a while.
We knew he was leaving. He couldn't get his car across the line. I think something out of 8 of 22 starts or something this year were no finishes.
Frustrating.
Very, very frustrating. Fresh start. I think he felt there was a bit of favouritism towards Max Verstappen.
Oh, you reckon?
As well. So I think he's happy to be on the move. How he goes there, because I think that's the same engine, isn't it, the Renault? So good luck to him. But it was, I was going to say, an emotional finish to the last race in Abu Dhabi. But it wasn't. Was it Abu Dhabi? What am I thinking?
It was the Abu Dhabi Grand Prix.
There you go.
Yeah.
And he's, well... As he crosses the line, some emotional moments as the team radio in.
Carefully
to say
chosen
congratulations.
Words.
Great drive today. It's been an absolute pleasure having you in our team for the last 5 seasons. Yeah, we're going to miss you.
I echo Christian's comments, mate. It's been a pleasure for the last 5 years. Thank you.
Yep, you're a dickhead.
I love you too.
For the record, you're not a dickhead. You're okay.
Thank you. See you later.
Doesn't get any more Australian than that. The guys are saying how much we've loved you. Shut up, you dickhead.
I really loved hearing that. Also, I love the way the tone in which everybody speaks when they're, you know, they sort of change. Everything's a monotone for some reason when you're speaking at high speed.
I'll give you first for the negative on that one. Did you hear Nico Hülkenberg?
Who
flipped his car. The Abu Dhabi Grand Prix.
I haven't heard this.
He flipped it. It caught fire. And they rang him to say, how are you going? Are you okay?
Yes.
Here's how it all unfolded. This was quite a scary incident.
Hülkenberg going over and over and over and out of this race. Nico Hülkenberg against the barrier.
Are you okay, Nico?
Holy I'm hanging here like a cow.
Yeah.
Get me out of this fire.
Yeah.
This fire.
It's all right. They're coming. They're coming. Safety car is there with you, Nico.
Okay.
I'm hanging upside down like a cow.
Yeah.
It's on fire. Come and get me.
There's fire. Yeah, that's more animated. That's what I was looking for. Mike, right.
You dickhead.
He's all right, though, isn't he?
Yeah, you got a couple of results you want to get through, Jane?
Yeah, we want to say congratulations to Kennedy Malloy's own Davey Reynolds.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
He's won
in Newcastle.
Newcastle 500. Well done. Mm-hmm. Of course, McLaughlin has won the overall, won the series. But that is a great confidence boost, I imagine, after Dave had such a distressing time at Bathurst.
He's back, baby.
Back in town.
It'll be
well done, congratulations.
Of course, and of course the women, yeah?
Of course, Australia beat England by 8 wickets, which was wonderful to watch. A great game, I have to say it was. It's always good when we see
how good's
Australia
that Healy?
Beat.
She's got the player of the series. She got 4 out of 5, I think, of best players on the ground.
And super cool.
Yeah.
Super cool. Great result.
Not bad.
Another
well
one.
Done, girls. They are an awesome outfit and they will still go on.
They are
and
indeed. And we're going to finish for the moment on the Philadelphia 76ers fans who are launching a petition to ban Kendall Jenner
from the
game.
Enough too.
Now,
fair
this
enough.
Is because she's dating, allegedly, Ben Simmons. She went...
allegedly? They've been sitting out in the town together.
They are. They're dating. And she went and to sit courtside and watch.
Front row. She's
front
sitting
row.
Court rows... Courtside seats.
Yeah, and they lost. Oh. Now, this is, they're calling the Kardashian curse. It all started with Odom.
Well, the reason why they're saying it is they'd won their last 10 home games. So they're on fire. She turns up and they get beaten at home. And
which is highly unusual.
Fans are outraged, started a petition. Get rid of her. She's not allowed back to sit in those seats. They call it the Kardashian curse.
Because
not the first basketballer who's run afoul having dated a Kardashian.
Let me just read through them.
Sure.
Lamar Odom dated Khloe Kardashian. Wow. Chris Humphries.
If you're going to get the curse, I'm happy to get that one.
That's
on the top of my ways to die.
That's when he was last found unconscious in a Nevada brothel.
After a 5-day bender.
Yeah, that's right.
Good
Chris
work.
Humphries is known for his 72-day marriage to Kim Kardashian. Remember that one in 2011? Jordan Clarkson also dated Kendall Jenner, but that didn't work out. He had his maiden playoff appearance for the Cleveland Cavaliers, but then hasn't been going well ever since. Blake Griffin also dated Kendall. God, she's got around, hasn't she? Tristan Thompson is the dog who's in the doghouse, who's with, dated or had the baby with Khloe Kardashian and was photographed pashing women two nights before she gave birth. There's a couple more. So there is a curse.
It's the curse of the Kendalls.
Well, it's the superstition thing with people saying...
Well, particularly sportsmen, I find.
Absolutely. Well, there's some very famous sports people.
Far away.
Steve Waugh is one of the most superstitious. He refused to throw away or not wear his very, very, very old baggy green.
He could be seen out partying, still in his whites with his baggy green, 2 days after stumps.
Well, that's the last day. Apparently,
he didn't get out of it for anything.
He spilled a bottle of milk on it once and refused to get it clean because his right didn't fall apart.
Came in here and his nose bled.
Yeah,
your dog poisoned.
That's right.
Remember
that?
Indy.
No, Steve was allergic to Mick Malloy.
He was allergic to Indy, and he went nuts.
Almost brought down.
Serena Williams doesn't wash her socks during a tennis tournament if she's on a winning streak. Michael Jordan wore his college basketball shorts under his NBA gear during his most successful days with the Chicago Bulls. Yeah. So you know, people have special
a superstition.
I don't know if you've got one.
Is there a curse? Well, no, not really.
When you're playing squash. When you're having a winning streak?
No, I don't. No, probably should have discussed that before.
Well, 133353, though, if you do have a superstition.
Okay, well, give us a call.
Let's give us a call. Yeah. If you've got a superstition or you think there's a curse.
Or you know of other special superstition.
133353. This is Kennedy Malloy. All right, let's get it. Hey, there's some more here. Look at this. And it don't just have to be sports stars either, by the way.
It can be rituals, superstitions.
Keith Richards has got to have shepherd's pie.
Wow.
In his change room. Insists that there must be shepherd's pie at every show, and he can eat one before they go, or they don't go on.
That's funny.
Jennifer Aniston has a pre-flight ritual. Yeah. She always has to enter the plane with her right foot.
Gosh.
Maybe she'll do that when she's coming down the aisle.
Oh, why did I laugh at that? That's a bit silly.
Bang.
I've got one.
What?
Never put new shoes on a table.
Is that one of yours?
I didn't make it up. I've just been told.
What's its historical?
Oh, you'll get bad luck. I don't know. And I don't know what it means, but I've just been told never put new shoes on a table. And if you spill salt, you know, you pick it up and you throw it over your left shoulder.
Never wear a bald man's hat.
Sure. Makes sense.
Because you might go bald.
No.
You get, it's an Asian thing, I think.
Right.
Too.
Axl Rose will not play shows in cities that begin with the letter M. Oh, well, that's stupid.
That's why he's never come to Melbourne. He
was in Melbourne.
He came to Melbourne.
He says, we got it, Memphis.
To Melbourne. Someone must have lied to him.
Yeah. That's crazy.
Welcome to Velman.
Even though that Melbourne show, the announcer's gone, welcome Sydney to Guns N' Roses. And
that's
it was the Melbourne show.
This is a conspiracy theory so he didn't know.
It was a big drama. That's right.
Okay. Has that got any cowbell?
Gunners, Well, the opening song for our show is Slash.
Slash, we'll take that.
Cowbell,
by the way, I'm getting a lot of great feedback for my cowbell special.
I think it's fair enough. I'm loving the music
today.
Well done, Mick.
Yes.
Hey, let's go to some calls because people have got some curses that they've
let's
experienced.
Get into it.
Hello, Kelly.
Hi, how are you going?
Yeah, good. What's a curse that you're aware of?
Well, I used to play championship level basketball, and so obviously that's really high. You have to be pretty decent to get into there.
You didn't date a Kardashian, I hope.
I did not.
There was only one male, so, you know.
Right. And any time my uncle or my auntie would come and watch me play, I'd have a total flop.
Oh, my God.
So did you ban them or did you bar them? Or did,
you did.
Yeah, it's a really touch and go. Do you want to come? Oh, I don't think you should.
Oh, really? Did you win when they didn't come?
Yeah, we won everything.
Did they ever sneak in?
I wouldn't. Pardon?
Did they ever sneak in?
No, they didn't. But it's it's been interesting. They still don't understand how I played such a high level of sport.
So the undie and the uncle have been banned from attendance.
Well, because you played such a high level, we're going to give you a prize.
Yeah, $100 worth of De Bortoli wines, Kelly.
Oh, thank you.
You share that with your teammates.
Good on you.
Perfect.
Well done, Kelly. David.
Hello.
Yes. Have you got a curse or a superstition? What's happening?
Oh, look, I had the worst kind of superstition. I had a pair of lucky undies when I played hockey.
How lucky were they? And when I say lucky, I mean woofy. Did you have to play in those undies?
Yeah, they were washed all up though, which is why they fell apart. But look, I had them for years with all the big games and the finals they came out for.
Were they sunny side up by the time you'd finished? What happened?
No, so a few years after I retired them, I was coaching a women's team, brought them out of retirement for the finals. They came into the finals fourth.
Yep.
We came from behind, won the semi-final, won the grand final. So after a night of debauchery with the ladies, with the undies being tossed around everywhere, they got officially retired that night.
Are they behind glass or something in the club rooms?
No, the ashes?
Did you burn them and now become something you play for?
You know, this is a pretty ugly picture. We're talking elastic coming out the top. They were pretty well gone.
Ah, well, they sound pristine to me. Well done, David. I'm in the David Beckham camp. David Beckham never wears the same pair of underpants twice.
No, I know.
He wears them. And then he gets a new one. He wears them for a day, takes them off, chucks them in the bin.
He's very wealthy.
Gets a new one.
Interesting.
Oh, mate, come on.
He can do that.
That's my ambition one day, to live like that.
You're pretty close now, I would say. You do well. Hello, Darren.
Good afternoon, guys.
Yeah, afternoon. Tell us your story.
Well, it's not just me. Baseballers. I'm a baseballer and... in America, there's a lot of curses where two teams...
I think they're the most superstitious of all the sportsmen. Yeah. The baseballers really do go hard.
Yeah?
Yeah. It took two teams 100 years to actually win a comp due to banning of people or trading people that they should have. Like, as an example, the Boston Red Sox got rid of Babe Ruth. And it took them 120 years to win one.
Yep.
And if you watch them walk on the field, most baseballers do not... walk on the lines.
Yes, they
tend to jump over it.
And they have to sit in a certain order in the dugout.
Oh my God, I love it.
They have to tap their bat so many times before they go in.
OCD on
they are, they, yeah. it really is. Well done, Darren. Thanks for that. We'll finish with Nathan. Nathan, you're a golfer. What's your superstition?
You might be able to agree with me on this one, Nicky. About halfway through the game of golf, I've had a few beers and I relax more and I don't overthink my swing.
Yes.
So now I like to have probably six or eight beers before I play golf and it just completely relaxes me from the start. I don't overthink my swing.
Am I talking to John Daly? What's happening here? Who is this? I get it. You're not the Lone Ranger and I, for one, my favourite time on a golf course is when you get told to come off for... They play the sirens. So you'll have... thunder, lightning, and you have to get off the course. You're basically carrying stuff that conducts electricity. Yeah, they have to. So everyone comes in off course, and you're there for half an hour. It's pouring rain, so everyone gets hammered. The golf after one of those breaks is some of the worst golf you'll ever see played on any golf course anywhere in the world. It's a lot of fun.
What about a slab of brick lane for Nathan to help with his golf?
Oh, that might
help you.
He'll be playing off scratch within a week.
You've got the One Love Pale Ale or the Base Lager coming your way there, Nathan.
Beautiful. Thank you very much.
It's a good drop, Nathan. We'll take you all the way. Oh, caddy. And by caddy, I mean crack one for you.
This is Kennedy Malloy.
This is Kennedy Malloy. Your new way to drive home.
I was talking about superstitions before, and one that I'm very big on in a household, never put new shoes on a table, and you said to me, Mick, why?
Why?
No, I had no
idea.
Someone called Ray Kennedy, close to me, has let us know, in the old days in the mining industry, if a miner died in the underground tunnels, the news of his death would be communicated by placing his shoes on the family table. So if you put shoes on the table, it indicates someone has died. Well, isn't that uplifting for a Monday afternoon.
What about you dancing on the tables?
That's all right.
That's your shoes connecting with the tables, and we've seen that.
That's fine as long as you take your undies off. Sorry, Dad, I hope you're not listening now.
It's a bit ugly coyote at change.
Oh, it's crazy.
Your new way to drive home. Kennedy Malloy.
We've had fun today with the music. I've really enjoyed the music on today's show.
I've loved it too. Let's remember some of those tracks.
Been refreshing and fun to do. We've missed a couple of obvious ones though, Jane. People are getting into this.
We have, and Justin Cranston has said one of my favourite songs, the intro of Killing in the Name of, with Rage Against the Machine. Can we have a taste of this, Dave?
How good is this, by the way? Here it comes.
Bang!
That'll wake you up, everyone.
It's like a staccato cowbell. It was almost a double time.
Very tight.
Very interesting.
Very nice.
Okay, I'm going to practice that. Have you guys ever played the air cowbell?
What's that?
It's like air guitar.
Oh, really?
I sit at home and I play along and I just sit there.
Yeah, that'd be a bit sad to watch. Stuart Merrick has also said, what about Rob Hurst's cowbell?
Read about it.
Pretty good.
I like that.
Let's hear that kick in. Yeah. The cowbell gets the game going.
It does, doesn't
the cowbell
it?
Is it's just that prelude. Starts the fire. It's like just checking.
It's a teaser.
And you see, Dave, you're learning. You're learning not to speak over the top. Well, or the start of the cowbell.
It's my job as a DJ to kind of talk things up a bit.
Yeah,
stuff,
but I just like a little bit of free air at the start.
Yeah, but maybe you've done it.
What are you talking about? Mm. What are you talking about? Well, I told Dave off earlier in the show.
I don't like bringing up your mistakes.
This must be painful for you, Joe. What is it?
I take no delight in
this. Which one? What happened?
Let's just have a listen. You did it today. You talked over this. Have a listen.
Lover boy waiting for the weekend, which starts with cowbell.
Okay, you're going to love this. Turn this up in your cars. Turn this up at home. I went back and played it again and blamed it on Dave.
Yeah.
It's a lot of you over lovable.
Adrian O'Brien, Kennedy Malloy, don't talk over the cowbell, and then Mick Malloy talks over the cowbell. Yeah. Well, hey, mate, don't turn on me. I brought the cowbell to the table, pal. There'd be no cowbell at all on this show if I hadn't have stormed into our station manager's office, into Fitzy's office, but he wasn't too busy stealing stuff from the prize cabinet and demand a cowbell special.
Oh, my God.
Was that a call during the one of our callback topics? Yes. Mentioned Regurgitator.
A minute 15 in, he said. For the new
I found that
song.
Oh,
you got it?
Here it is.
Don't stress. Don't freak.
Here it comes.
Oh.
Nice.
It's a good stereo. Wow. I've got it in the right channel and the left channel.
Yeah.
There should be like a dueling cowbells. You know, like dueling banjos?
I do.
You get two cowbells out and you start to...
Well, I've got one here. So maybe you could do your cowbell.
If you ever,
don't
hit
that, Dave.
A cowbell in this show again. You don't have the bamboos again, do you? Just quickly, which was me. Nothing good is going to come easy. Break! There we go. Hey!
Well, sadly, we're out of time.
That's another APRA check coming my way.
Wow,
that's me. We'll show tomorrow.
We'll
there's another
then.
10
Timbo
cents.
On a professional level.
Two comedy greats and even better mates. This is Kennedy Malloy.